Hey everyone, it's Colin. How's it going? So, story time. If you follow me on Twitter, you might have seen a little bit about this, but here's kind of the expanded version. Last week, my iPad suddenly died. I have a third-gen iPad Air, and this thing has been absolutely babied its entire life. All I use it for generally is just reading before I go to bed. It's never left the house. It's never been dropped. If you wipe the fingerprints off the screen and put it in the box, you could easily confuse it for being brand new. I've never done anything overly stressful with it. I've never tried to edit video or play games. Literally, it's just web browsing, and occasionally I use it as a teleprompter for videos. That's it. And so I go to use it the other night, and it won't wake up. I leave it sitting next to the bed. I charge it up when I need to. And I know that the night before, it still had easily half a charge left on its battery. But I go to wake it up, and nothing. Absolutely nothing. I figure, okay, well, maybe the battery died, and I had misremembered how much there was left. Plug it in. It won't charge. I go through all the troubleshooting steps, the various button combinations you can do to try to reboot the device or force it to wake up. I tried multiple chargers, multiple cables, plugging it into my computer, leaving it overnight to charge, all of this. It's just dead. Okay, fine. So I take it into the Apple store this past weekend. Get a Genius Bar appointment, show them the iPad. This thing's 18 months old. It's dead. They go, okay. They plug in a USB diagnostic cable between it and a MacBook Air, running a special diagnostic tool that's supposed to be able to interrogate the device and figure out what's going on. And what the device reported is that my iPad was drawing zero current. It's not that like it was trying to charge the battery, but it wouldn't wake up. The thing was just stone dead. Wasn't trying to pull any power at all. So that pretty much indicates that it's a failed motherboard. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I saw on Apple's support site, I'm telling them the Genius, that there's an extended repair program for the third gen iPad Air for a fairly vague condition that the site describes as where the screen stays black. It doesn't go into any other detail. And you can look this repair program up yourself on Apple's support site. It doesn't go into any more detail about different symptoms you may see. It basically just says, if the screen on your iPad stays black, this is a known problem because, you know, a batch of iPads manufactured between these two dates will do that. And my iPad falls within that date range. So I asked the Genius, hey, you know, what about this? I saw this on their site. Technically, my iPad is showing those symptoms. I mean, the screen is staying black. And he looks at it and goes, well, no, I don't think it would qualify because, you know, it's really meant to be like if just the screen itself is bad. Even though the article didn't really say anything more deep about technically what may be going on, he goes, no, I don't think that's going to apply. So my only option at that point was to go through an out-of-warranty replacement, which is a flat rate of $379 US. Now, that sucks, because I paid $550 for that iPad, like I said, 18 months ago. So do the math, and that's what, 70%? 70% of the original price of the iPad is a flat rate repair. And they don't really fix the iPad. They would just give me a refurbished identical one. Now I'm stuck. It's prompted a lot of thoughts. I mean, obviously, I'm pissed off about the situation on multiple fronts. But it's really gotten me thinking more about the whole concept of right to repair and all of the different problems that we've been facing over the years as we've tried to promote right to repair, right? There's really kind of three sides to it. People like to think of it as just two sides, the consumer versus the manufacturer. But there's really three sides to it. And I've realized this as I've started to do more research into trying to fix my own specific problem with this iPad. Because I figure, all right, you know what? The thing's 18 months old, so it's out of warranty. Apple wants 70% of its original purchase price to just give me another identical one, which may or may not have the same problem again eventually if it's a design flaw. What about third-party repair? So I start looking into it. And there are plenty of places out there that will do unauthorized, in quotes, repair on, of course, iPhones, but also iPads. And they usually also do flat rate repair pricing. You know, if it doesn't turn on, it's this amount of money. If it's just the lightning port on the bottom is bad, it's, you know, X amount of money. In my case, the number that I've been seeing from a lot of places, it averages about $200 to $250 flat rate to fix the problem with my iPad specifically. Which, that's a fair bit cheaper than the $380 that Apple wants. Here's the catch though. That price assumes that you're sending them an iPad that's ready to be worked on. If I send them the iPad as is right now, they're going to tack on an additional $50 to $75 to disassemble and reassemble it. And the other thing is, all of the good shops that are very experienced at fixing these problems are not here where I am. At least the ones where I feel like they've garnered a big enough reputation for me to want to do business with them. I'm thinking of places like iPad Rehab. They're in New York. I live in Minnesota. That means I have to ship the iPad there and back. So that's extra cost. You put all of that together between the repair fee plus the, you know, disassembly, reassembly fee plus the shipping. I'm very close to the $379 that Apple wants to just swap it out. And if I were to go with Apple's route, they would just give me the new iPad right then and there. It wouldn't be a wait. I just go back to the Genius Bar. Here's my money. Here's the old iPad. And I would walk away with a replacement. Whereas with third-party repair, I'd be waiting at least a week, probably more, while it gets shipped there. They do the repair, ship it back. Now, you're probably also thinking, well, Colin, I mean, you're technically savvy. You've done videos about taking stuff apart and fixing it. Why don't you do it yourself? And I considered that. I considered, you know what, maybe I just, screw it, the thing's dead. You can't break it anymore, right? Why not try and fix it myself? Well, the problem is, this has been my daily driver device. And I would want to repair it to that kind of standard, right? I don't like using half-broken stuff. I have very, very little patience for stuff that I use on a daily basis not working correctly or not looking right or whatever. I'm inexperienced with fixing iPads, and I'm especially inexperienced with taking them apart because Apple is notorious for this, but other tablet and computer manufacturers are doing this as well. The things are glued closed. So the challenge for me wouldn't just be trying to identify and fix the motherboard problem, whatever that may be. My guess is that it's a bad passive component, considering there's no power in the device. It's not like there's a short. It's just not consuming any power whatsoever. So I'm guessing some sort of passive, you know, failed. And one would hope that would be fairly easy to find and repair. But just getting there is the problem. Taking the screen off is notoriously difficult if you don't have the right tools or experience without breaking the screen. And you even go through like iFixit's teardowns, they've broken the screens on a lot of the devices that they've taken apart. And they're experts in it. So if I wanted to go down that path and give myself the best chance at doing a, in quotes, proper repair on my iPad, I'd need to practice first. So that would mean not just going out and buying tools to be able to take the screen off, like iFixit sells these special, I don't know how you describe them. They're like these kind of big gel pack things, and you stick them in the microwave and heat them up, and then they can, you know, be placed on top of the device to warm it up to soften the adhesive. there's a cost to that kind of stuff, right? I have to buy these sorts of tools. I'd have to buy new adhesive gaskets to seal the iPad back up when I was done. And then in order to even just take the screen off without breaking it, I would need to practice. So I would have to go out to eBay or, you know, some sort of e-waste place or whatever and buy dead iPads to practice taking their screens off of so that I could get good at it without breaking them. And I would likely go through several iPads because, you know, the first one or two of them, I would just break the screens horribly on. As do, I think, most people when they try to tackle that kind of repair themselves. The thing is, broken iPads still have a value because of those third-party repair places buying them to scavenge parts because of how difficult it is to get official replacement parts for iPads because, you know, Apple, of course, but other manufacturers are going this direction too. They don't want to sell you the individual components, right? That's what the whole right to repair thing is all about. So even broken iPads still have value. Where I'm saying that it's become not just a two-way issue, but a three-way issue is it's really the consumer versus the manufacturer versus third-party repair. And there's this very horrible / tenuous game that's going on right now where you've got what a fair repair price for a consumer is versus what a fair repair price for a third-party, you know, non-official, unofficial repair price, you know, place would be versus what the manufacturer wants to charge for repair. And they're all vastly different, right? For me as a consumer, it makes no sense to drop 70% of the price of a new iPad on a repair, especially if it's a device that's one generation old. I could go out and buy a brand new iPad for about the same amount of money as what I paid for my broken one originally, but I'd be getting a better product, right? I'd be getting one with a brand new battery. In this case, with the iPad Airs, I'd be getting a slightly bigger screen, faster processor, all this, you know, lighter weight, all that kind of stuff. Why would I spend the money on a repair when I can spend just a little bit more and get something brand new? That's basically what the manufacturers want you to do, right? Apple prices its repairs in such a way, at least for whole device replacement, you know, batteries, the simple stuff, that's kind of a different issue. And I don't really have a problem with the battery repair pricing that Apple and other manufacturers have. You know, I think that's pretty fairly priced just because that's a known quantity for them. You know, they know that all they have to do is the battery instead of, you know, potentially a lot of other stuff when it comes to refurbishing a device or, you know, or fixing it. So obviously, you know, the manufacturers want you to buy a brand new product if your old one is just completely dead. And I'm not saying that the repair prices from third-party services are overpriced because, yes, it's a couple $100 for someone to go in and you know, diagnose and fix this problem. You know, like let's say I send it off to Jessa Jones at iPad Rehab. And she wants, you know, $250 to $300 to take the unit apart, find the problem, fix it, put it back together. That's, you know, if you're really good and a shop like hers is really good, that's at least an hour's worth of work. And you look at that and go, man, what, like $300 for just an hour's worth of work? That's a lot of money. But you know what? Look at what a lot of other repair industry costs are. You know, you go to any mechanic for your car, you're looking at least $100 an hour for labor. And when you take your car in to get it fixed, the vast majority of the time, it's not just labor that you need to pay for. Usually parts need to get replaced. And of course, the mechanic is going to have a markup on parts. So that's how they can kind of get away with only, in quotes, charging like $100 an hour for labor, because they're also making that money off of, you know, the replacement parts they need to put in your car. So in the end, it kind of works out even between like car repair prices and independent electronics repair prices. And the reason the amount of money is so high to begin with is because there's way more overhead to running a shop or a business, of course, than just the salary of the person doing the work. You know, is someone who works on cars making $100 an hour? Of course not. Auto mechanics are woefully underpaid. I mean, some of them make barely more than minimum wage. And while I would like to think that people working in the electronics repair industry would get paid better, I know they're getting paid not that much better. They're still not making anywhere near what the hourly rate kind of works out to in their case. So I totally understand why the repair prices for third-party repair are so high, especially since they have to invest so much money in all of the necessary tools and repair parts and all of this kind of stuff. They have to keep up with not just training, but reverse engineering how all this stuff works because of it being third-party, unofficial repair. You know, they're on their own, and that all costs money and time. So I don't have a problem with that, but I have a problem paying that kind of money in context of what the repair price is. So even with independent repair being an option, and this, of course, isn't the case across all kinds of repairs. I mean, there are some cases where independent repair is very economical and makes a lot more sense. But in my particular case, because I need effectively some board level like component repair, that puts me in a different category from someone who simply like dropped their phone and cracked the screen and needs a replacement screen. That's a very straightforward fix. Or someone whose battery needs to get swapped out, but they don't want to take it to the Apple store because it costs, you know, so much more money, and they found someone who has a kiosk in the mall that can do it for $30 or whatever. You know what I mean? That's the really frustrating part right now, I feel, about the entire device repair scene is, even if you want to fight the good fight, even if you want to give your business to someone who's doing independent repair and trying to go after the manufacturers and stick it to them about, no, we don't want to, you know, fall into planned obsolescence and all of that kind of stuff. We want to actually repair these devices. Financially, in a lot of cases, it still just doesn't make sense. Now, in my case, I'm a little bit fortunate in that I realized after actually getting tipped off by a reply to that Twitter thread that the credit card I originally bought my iPad with offers an extended warranty feature. Basically, what they say is they will double whatever the original manufacturer's warranty is, you know, out to a certain extent. So for me, if my iPad came with a 1-year warranty, that means my credit card would extend it to 2 years. And because my iPad was 18 months old when it failed, I fall within that period. So I've got a claim open with my credit card company to see if they'll reimburse me to get it fixed. Basically, I submit, you know, all the paperwork and here's how much it'll cost for the flat rate repair from Apple and da da da. And if they approve it, they'll basically pay for that repair. They'll pay the $379 or whatever for the flat rate replacement fee from Apple. And that's great for me individually, because turns out, after all, no out-of-pocket expense on my part. However, Apple just sees that as a victory, right? They've made money. They didn't get a new iPad out of me necessarily, but they still made money, because you know it doesn't cost Apple $380 to refurbish the device that I'm giving them. So they obviously are pricing these repairs high enough that they're profitable, right? And that's where I think we're really starting to see some sticky stuff going on. It's not just that these companies, these manufacturers, want you to buy a new thing instead of fixing your own. They're also hitting you up with, well, if you do decide to fix it on your own, we're going to make money off of that too. It's not like they're not making profit off of that replacement cost. Not just because they obviously need to offset the cost of running the Genius Bar and all that stuff at the Apple store and offset the cost of the actual refurbishment process of paying someone behind the scenes to take the old iPad apart and do the board level repair and, you know, fix anything else that may be wrong and all of that. I mean, obviously they've got costs that need to get covered, and I think that's reasonable, especially if it's an out of warranty situation. That is totally reasonable for them to want to cover their costs. The problem is, I don't think it's anywhere near $380, right? My Genius Bar appointment took 5 minutes. And we all know that people who work at the Genius Bar, they're not making tons and tons of money, right? They work in the mall. They're making, you know, slightly better than working in the mall wages. I think they're underpaid too, simply because of probably how many angry consumers they have to deal with on a daily basis when they're hit with, you know, facts like, yeah, your iPad's 18 months old and it's going to cost you 70% of what you originally paid to replace it. You know, I could see a lot of people just freaking out, making a huge scene and all that kind of stuff. You know, the people at the Genius Bar, they put up with a lot of crap. It's a customer service job, and I've worked in customer service before. I know exactly what that life is like, so I have sympathy for them. But, you know, this whole let's make a bunch of profit on the repair, that I think is really kind of the linchpin here. Now, real talk, there's been a lot of different groups that have been advocating for and against right for repair. And it's beyond just the electronics industry, right? Another big industry is actually tractors, like farmers. Farmers are starting to absolutely hate John Deere, the company that, you know, makes a lot of like heavy machinery and stuff, because John Deere has been going down that same path of locking down access to repair parts and requiring special tools and software and training and all of this kind of stuff just to repair the stuff you bought. Honestly, though, I don't think right to repair is going to produce the results that we really want to see, right? Best case scenario, what we wanted was easy access to parts and tools and training, right? Where we could go to like a special page on Apple's website and I could just buy a new iPad Air motherboard and I could buy a tool to take the device apart. And I could find a PDF of the service manual that shows me exactly how to do it. And let's go one step further. That right to repair would somehow compel manufacturers to make the devices easier to fix to begin with. Where in the case of my iPad, it wouldn't be glued closed. You know, maybe they'd use magnets to hold the screen down or something like that. You know, some clips or something, just where it's less risk of destruction just trying to take the thing apart. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think we're going to get there, at least not in the US. And sad to say, that's really just because of the way the government works. There's going to be no way that right to repair would ever get pushed through and force companies to do the right things, you know, so to speak, without government intervention. Because the average consumer honestly just doesn't understand or doesn't care. You know, most consumers, I feel, at least when it comes to their electronic devices, they get away with not having to go through that out-of-warranty repair experience. Or if they do, they just go, oh, well, whatever it is, what it is, and they just buy a new thing. They use it as an opportunity to buy a new thing. You know, maybe their phone was 3 years old anyway, and it finally dies. Instead of getting it fixed, they go, well, you know, the thing's 3 years old. I kind of wanted a new one anyway. And they don't feel so bad about it because they're able to justify it in other ways. 18 months old for an iPad? It's really tough for me to justify in good, you know, clear conscience going, well, you know, I kind of wanted a new one anyway. There was absolutely nothing wrong with my old one. There was absolutely nothing wrong with the old one. So that's the thing, is the combination of, like, you know, these companies lobbying the government, which is just an absolutely effed up situation in the US. For those of you who don't live in the US, think of it this way. Bribing the people who run the government is legal here. Yes, it's a more complicated issue than that, but that's basically what it is. There are, my understanding is that in other countries, and I'll try not to go too off on a tangent too much on this. In other countries, people that work in the government have lost their jobs over something as simple as having their dinner paid for by the wrong person. Right? Being taken out to dinner can be considered bribery in some countries that have led to people losing their jobs, getting kicked out of office. In the US, it's practically expected for that to happen. To be constantly, you know, they call it lobbying here. It's bribery. And of course, because these companies, these manufacturers have so much more money than what us average techie geeks can scrape together, they're of course going to win. So I don't want to be pessimistic about this. I want everyone to be able to get their stuff fixed. I want there to be some sort of fiscal responsibility on the part of these manufacturers to realize that, you know what, we've charged these people a lot of money for the stuff they bought to begin with. Let's give them some reasonable period of time to use it before we try to hit them up again. But I don't think we're going to get there. So you know what? I'm willing to accept a compromise. And I don't like this compromise because it's basically like giving in. But it does fix to the average consumer the problem. And it's as simple as this. Don't charge so damn much for the out-of-warranty repairs. If the Genius Bar had said, okay, Colin, I'm sorry your iPad's dead, and yeah, I know it's only 18 months, but shit happens. If they had said, we can do an out-of-warranty repair exchange, flat rate, $200, I'd feel better about it. I mean, I'd still be disappointed that the thing died after 18 months, but $200? Okay, now we're talking less than half what I originally paid. And I feel like there are other industries that have already realized that. Like, think about it with cars. Coming back to the car analogy, how much money do you spend on a brand new car? Now, obviously, you get a much longer warranty on a brand new car than 1 year like you get in the US for most electronics. And a lot of the folks on that Twitter thread from outside the US, especially those living in Europe, said, wait a minute, it's just past a year. It's like 18 months old. Why is that not under warranty? Well, they don't realize they get a 2 year warranty by default if you live in Europe, or at least most countries in Europe, as I understand it. But how that came about was through the government. It's not the companies doing it of their own goodwill, saying, oh, Europeans, we like you more. Well, let's give you 2 years warranty by default. The governments over there forced the companies to say, you know what, the default minimum warranty you're going to give our citizens is 2 years. And so it would have been covered. In the auto industry here, at least in the US, they've realized they can't get away with trying to do a super short warranty. Cars are mechanically a lot more complex. They are more prone to failure than electronic devices, especially solid state ones like a phone or a tablet or a laptop. But the minimum warranty you generally get on a brand new car here is 3 years, you know, and whatever amount of mileage. But even after that, if the car breaks, you're not hardly ever faced with a bill that's like 70% of what you originally paid for the car. No one would buy new cars if it was that expensive to repair them. Now, yeah, you do, as the car gets really old, you know, the value versus repair cost starts to become a thing where, you know, there's the concept of a car becoming mechanically totaled, where like maybe the thing is 10 years old and it's only worth like a couple $1,000 used as it is. And the engine dies and they say, yeah, brand new replacement engine parts and labor is going to be, you know, a couple $1,000. Well, it doesn't make sense in that case because the car is only worth that same amount of money anyway. You'd be better off spending that money on something else. But, you know, a car that's 5 years old and let's say you originally paid $30,000 for it, you know, coming back and having a repair cost is $20,000. What? There's no way. I mean, no one would buy new cars. But somehow the electronics industry is getting away with that. I think it's because the relative price of the products to begin with is so much lower. You know, the iPads are only $500, you know, or somewhere around there for an iPad Air type of device. But that, again, totally overlooks an entire segment of the market. You know, the industry keeps looking at the people who can afford that kind of stuff on a regular basis. But what about all the lower income folks, you know, or just the working class, those who, are living relatively comfortable lives, but they don't exactly have a ton of money sitting there that they can blow on a replacement iPad after 18 months of it dying? We know we have to rely on technology more and more. It's a given in the US that you pretty much need to have some access to technology in order to live a normal, in quotes, life. Just because the in-person ways of doing things keep dwindling. You know, I'll go to our website and fill out the form instead of, well, stop in at one of our offices and talk to somebody. And even pandemic stuff aside, but the pandemic has made it even more obvious. You know, that whole digital divide sort of thing. You know, we've got students of all socioeconomic backgrounds that now have to learn from home, or at least had to. Things are starting to, in quotes, normalize again, although we're nowhere near it, really. But, you know, the iPad and laptops and stuff, kind of a requirement for a lot of kids to be able to, you know, take on education from home in a safe manner during this pandemic. What if their family could barely afford that device to begin with, and it dies on them out of warranty? Now their kid can't learn, and the repair cost is almost as much as what they originally paid for it. That's not right. We've got a lot more conversations that we need to have. And I feel like there's never been a very clear set of demands that we as a society have needed to present to these manufacturers. It's always been kind of nebulous about, oh, right to repair. And, you know, the manufacturers have tried to kind of pander to it. Like Apple has been expanding its official, you know, third party repair process, where you don't necessarily have to be at an Apple store to get your device repaired. You know, you can be a mom and pop independent repair shop and sign on with Apple in this program to get access to official parts and tools and training and all that. But that costs a lot of money. Apple isn't giving that stuff away for free. There's a significant investment that you have to make as a company in order to get into that program. And then, of course, you have to keep up with all of the training as the products change and everything like that. So that really implies that you need to go through a lot of product. You have to do a lot of repairs for people in order to justify your own costs, even just beyond the labor cost of hiring and keeping the people to do those repairs if you're a third-party company. So in order to do that, and of course, you know, the individual parts prices are not going to be cheap from Apple. That means you have to mark up the repairs. So the repairs are now going to be about on par with what Apple would charge. Because why would Apple allow a third-party company to charge significantly less for an official repair than what they have at the actual Genius Bar? I'm not trying to vilify Apple, because I think parts of that company genuinely do want to do good work and want to be responsible and do the right thing. But it's clear that because Apple is a publicly traded company, they're on the stock market, ultimately they've got to make a ton of money. That is their job. Whenever you're a publicly traded company, your number one goal is to make your investors as much money as possible. And it's very clear that Apple is still stuck having to do that. No matter how badly they want to do right by consumers, there's this line that they've got to follow. And that's why sometimes we absolutely praise Apple for all the amazing things that they do, like how they're taking privacy seriously and they're going up against Facebook and all these other social media companies with locking down ad tracking and all that. Yet at the same time, they can do really, really annoying, frustrating anti-consumer things like charging 70% of an original purchase price to fix a thing that's only 6 months out of warranty. So, I mean, I think the only way that we can get some sort of delicate balance that at least helps consumers out is if we can get the manufacturers to maybe not charge a markup on out-of-warranty repairs. If they were to just say, you know what, fine. We realize that a certain percentage of people will not upgrade to the latest and greatest thing, but overall, it will still lead to goodwill with consumers from the company, right? It'll increase retention. It'll make consumers, the next time they do want to upgrade, come back to us because we treated them right when they had a problem with their product. I feel like that will be the way to go if we can get manufacturers to realize that. Honestly, if it wasn't for this whole credit card reimbursement thing, I would have considered going out and buying an Android-based tablet. Now, that's kind of a different can of worms because I feel like Android tablets have been neglected. I mean, there are decent ones out there, but they're nowhere near the level of polish that Apple has with iPads. You know, I feel like just Android as a whole, it's kind of a mediocre experience on a tablet. They haven't really pushed it that far. Android's really focused on phones. So, you know, I'm stuck. And I'm lucky that I've got this option for this whole credit card thing. I actually didn't realize that that was a thing that I could get until I was prompted to look into it. Turns out, oh, wow, yeah, actually it is a thing. But what if it wasn't? Or what if it was just a little bit after 2 years? You know, what if the credit card option wasn't a factor at play here? You know, what if the thing died at 26 months old? Just outside that extended warranty period. And don't even get me started. One person on Twitter was telling me like, well, you know, you should have bought AppleCare. Oh, don't get me started. I shouldn't. Like, one, first and foremost, don't victim blame. But second, I shouldn't have to buy an extended warranty for everything. You know, if that's the case, if you're telling me that it's that unreliable that I should have bought an extended warranty, that should have come with it by default. You know, increase the price of the product $50 and give me a 3-year warranty right off the bat or whatever. Anyway, I'm sorry, rant over, but that's just what's rattling around in my head right now is I just, as much as I want Right to Repair to succeed, I hate to be pessimistic about it, but I really just don't have a very good feeling that it's going to be this massive major victory. I feel like all the little things, you know, like Apple's official repair program for third-party providers, like I think that's going to be good enough if the government ever decides in the U.S. to look deeper at right to repair practices. The companies, the manufacturers, they're just going to kind of meander their way through it and show, oh, no, we are trying. It's good enough. And the government will be like, all right, fine, whatever. You know, they'll just accept it, even though in the end, it doesn't actually help anybody. You want to actually help somebody? Like I said, let's just make the repairs cheaper. As always, thanks for listening.